Jesus said, make disciples of all nations. Of all nations. I have to confess that if I've heard it once, I've heard it 1,000 times. And perhaps you've heard this too. Why do we send money all over the country, all over the world, when we've got starving people right here in the good old U.S. of A? It's a very good question, isn't it? But it's a very narrow and limited view of the Great Commission, isn't it? Yes, there are hungry people in this country, and that's a shame. That is an embarrassment to the world, actually, as rich as this country is and as resourceful as this country is. There are still hungry people in this country and poor people. But if we only focused on our local communities, who would go to those with the greater need? The children of Africa, the Congo, Nicaragua, South America, you name it. Who would go to them? We Americans are richer than probably 90% of the rest of the world, perhaps even more so. In many countries, people don't even have clean drinking water. Clean drinking water, folks, something we take so for granted. And yet we've got all the water we need and all the filtration systems and all that in abundance. Our mission field is not just Lewis, Delaware, folks. Jesus said, make disciples of all nations. That is the world. And we can do that through our United Methodist World Service Fund. About 10% of our apportionments that we give each week that we pay to the conference goes to the World Service Fund to help feed and do ministry around the world that we could never do as an individual church. That's why we have apportionments. That's why we are able to help in these ways. John Wesley said, the world is my parish. The world is my parish. In other words, wherever there are people, that is our mission field. Let's not limit our ministry and outreach to just our own backyard. Jesus said, make disciples and baptize them. Next Sunday, we'll baptize 3 children here in this service. Baptism, you see, is one of the 2 sacraments in the United Methodist Church. Baptism is an outward sign of something that's happened inwardly, either in the heart of the person or the family bringing these children to be baptized in the faith. Jesus took an old Jewish ritual of cleansing and purification using water and transformed it into the means by which we are identified as his followers. And it doesn't matter whether we're sprinkled, poured, or dunked. It all means the same thing. That we are sealed with the Holy Spirit and enter into a covenantal relationship with God through baptism and the church, and to live our lives as followers of Jesus Christ. Baptism is not just a ritual. It is not just an act that's performed here in front of a bunch of people. Jesus commanded that new believers be baptized as a visible, tangible sign of God's grace and an acceptance of that grace by the individual being baptized. And in the case of children, the parents accepting that until such time that child can be confirmed and accept that grace for themselves. But more importantly, it signifies belonging. When we are baptized in the church, when we are baptized into faith, we become connected in a very special way, not only to the family of God, but to a local church. When we're baptized in the faith, either as infants or adults, we belong to the family of God. We become part of something much bigger than ourselves, don't we? To God, to a church, and to every other Christian in a powerful and special way. There's something about belonging, isn't there? Belonging to something. That's hard to explain. That's why we put so much emphasis on welcoming strangers to our fellowship and giving them a 99-cent coffee mug and a little packet that tells about our church and about our ministries and outreach and so forth. It's important to make them feel like they belong. Every church, of course, feels like they're the friendliest, warmest church in town, don't they? But only the people, you, the people of Bethel Church or of any church can make that happen. We want to make everyone welcome here and to make everyone feel like they belong. Worship is more than just a weekly event. It's where we meet God in community. And our baptism is the common link that binds us together in Christ. Jesus said, baptize them and do what else? Teach them. Someone once said that faith is caught and not taught. There may be some truth to that, but I firmly believe with all my heart that it also has a certain teachability to it. Why else would we have Christian preschool? Why else would we have Bible study and vacation Bible school and confirmation classes? Because Christian education and spiritual formation are crucial to the disciple-making process. All of us can learn something new about God every day. One area I'm hoping to focus on this summer as I think about things and think about our ministry of the church is our small group ministry again, and trying to get that reactivated and re-energized and small groups ready and up and running by fall, including maybe, perhaps even, an adult Sunday school class between services. All it takes is people like yourselves, certain people who value education and want to make a commitment to leading a small group each Sunday morning or maybe a weekly study during the week. Many of you, I'm sure, would make excellent small group facilitators. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. You don't have to be an expert in the Bible, just a desire to be a co-learner with your friends that will join you. You don't have to know everything to teach, only something that the students don't know yet. And finally, I think the best part, Jesus said, I am with you always to the end of the age. This probably didn't make a whole lot of sense to those disciples as they watched Jesus ascend into heaven. But Jesus assured them that they would not be alone in their mission. And he kept his promise, didn't he? On the day of Pentecost, Jesus sent the Comforter, the Advocate, the Teacher, the Holy Spirit that would empower them and strengthen them as he had promised. And today, as post-Pentecost disciples here at Bethel, we have the very same indwelling Holy Spirit that was given to those disciples. The very same Spirit. The Bible says there's one Spirit, one body, one Christ, one faith. Today we hear once again our marching orders. Did you know you had marching orders as Christians? You don't have to be in the military to have marching orders. We've been given our marching orders today in the form of the Great Commission. We've commissioned, or will commission, our mission team in just a moment. And we've been commissioned for ministry by the Great Commissioner to go, to make disciples, to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and to teach them the things that Jesus has taught us. But most of all, we are reminded that we are not alone, that Jesus goes with us through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. I would like to, at this point, invite the mission team to come up and stand across the front here. We've got a special commissioning prayer that we would like to share with you today. All of us are invited to join in this. And I'm going to have them stand on this lower area so everybody can see the screen. If you'll turn and face the congregation, line up across here. How do you like these shirts? All right. Very good. Ray, would you like to introduce each of the team members and
sure do.
A little bit about them?
This is Ashley Legg and Adam Legg. friends of ours. This is Edith. She's going with us. This is Faye Kintz. This is Christine Sargent. This is Jordan Blankenship, Katie Wright, and Jen Nichols. And I'm Ray, of course. Let me just fill you in just briefly what we're going to do. We're going to a little town called Sutton, Alaska. It's about 61 miles north of Anchorage, right around the corner from Sarah Palin. So I don't know if you like that or not, but she's going to be close. Sutton dates back to the gold mining ages, and there's a lot of poverty in Sutton. There's a lot of people that need help. There's not a whole lot of jobs in Alaska in these little towns like this, and there's a lot of homes in disrepair. So the main thing we're doing, we're going to go there, and we're going to be working on these homes that need fixing up, whether it's putting roofs on or replacing porches or siding. We honestly don't know what projects we're going to be getting into yet. We'll find out when we get there. But we're going to be fixing up houses and showing the love of Christ to those folks who we come in contact with as we work on their house. And we're also going to have a little bit of fun. We're going to hike glaciers. We're going to go on bush plane rides and do all that good stuff too. But we're excited. We've got a long, long day ahead of us. There's three flights totaling about 15 hours. So we arrive 12:30 Alaska time, which will be 4:30 here. Some of you will be getting up for work, and we'll just be getting there. So pray for us as we go, and we're really excited, and we'll tell you all about it and show you all the pictures when we get back.
Okay. Yes, thank you. I would like for every one of us to stand, and I'd like for you to read with me the commissioning prayer that is up on the screen. I did not write this. There's a credit at the end. It was written by a pastor of a church in California, I think. But I think it speaks to us today and is appropriate for the commissioning of this group before us today. So this prayer is for you all as you leave us this afternoon. Please pray with me. When you leave this place today, we challenge you to speak up for what you believe is right, to speak up for what is not easy. We challenge you to listen. We challenge you to let yourself fail, only to raise yourself to new levels of success. We challenge you to be unafraid to talk about Jesus. We challenge you to stop trying to impress others and start trying to impress God. We challenge you to do the unpopular thing. We challenge you to be a rebel. We challenge you to be unabashed in affection. We challenge you to humble yourself. We challenge you to allow yourself to be humbled. We challenge you to avoid the path of least resistance. We challenge you not to await opportunity, but to find purpose and mission, to chart a course that your potential demands. We challenge you to find joy despite difficult circumstances. We challenge you to believe without seeing. We challenge you to respond with grace. We challenge you to live life better than you ever have before. Go into the world today with God's grace. And may the grace of God be with you all on your trip. God bless you. And may the grace of God go with you to Alaska and other parts. Yeah, let's show them some love this morning. God bless you. God bless you. Go with God. God.